Now, as you know, finally and reluctantly, the Irish government is to accept that €13 billion in tax money from Apple. But what should it do with it? Obviously, there's the housing crisis and the health service. But what else could we get for that sort of money? How about a fancy bridge? Even an Irish space programme. Simon Tierney has been researching some of the more irresponsible options. Afternoon, Simon.
Afternoon, Sean.
Let's start with space. That's the cool one.
Yes, absolutely. When I was doing this research, it became clearer and clearer to me, Sean, that it's time for Ireland to ditch the ESA, the European Space Agency, and to go out on our own and to compete directly with the Chinese and the Americans in this area.
Okay, great. And so how would we go about doing that?
Okay, so what I've tried to do to help listeners understand how achievable this is to break down the figures of, well, how much does it actually cost to send an astronaut to space? Now, or actually to the moon, to the lunar surface. Obviously, the last time this happened was over 50 years ago. 1972 was the last time any human landed on the moon. So there's a huge amount of inflation, as you can imagine. So between 1960 and 1973, NASA spent $28 billion developing the rockets, the spacecraft, the ground systems needed for the Apollo program. Now, if we put that in the inflation calculator, it comes to $260 billion in today's money.
Ooh.
But that's obviously a lot more than $13.8 billion, which we had land in our account today. But that's for the entire Apollo program. All I want to do is to send one Irishman to space.
Yes.
So let's break that down. Now, for one rocket to launch into space, we need to use some sort of launch system. And what NASA currently uses is the SLS, the Space Launch System. This is what took over from the space shuttle era. Now, for Orion, which is the spacecraft that's going to be used by the Artemis program to send humans to space before 2030, a single launch costs $4.2 billion. Okay, that's well within our reach with our new money from Apple. The trouble is we don't have a place to launch it, Sean.
Okay.
We don't have a Kennedy Space Center. So what I was thinking is, would it be worth renting the Kennedy Space Center, perhaps just for a day or so? So what I did was, just a little while before I came in, was that I called the Space Center, and this is what happened.
Thank you for calling Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex. All calls are recorded for quality assurance purposes. For directions and hours of operation, please press 1.
Now, I'm going to stop it there, Sean, because those options went on for a long time and I had a limited amount of time to prepare for this.
I know. Did it include, you know, press 7 if you want to launch your own rocket into space?
Eventually, I got to the information which pertained to us, and I'll read it out for our listeners so that they understand whether it's possible to rent the Kennedy Space Center or not. It says, whether it's a wedding, a birthday party, or other special event, Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex is the perfect place to make your memorable event unforgettable. That, for me, that's quite clear that it
absolutely
is a rentable space.
Yes, absolutely.
So the next thing then that we have to consider is payment of the astronaut. Now, I'm planning to send one astronaut to space.
That's
because
a bit lonely, though.
It is lonely, but Sean, it's only for a week. It takes eight days.
Fair enough, yeah.
So 8 days is how long Neil and Buzz and Michael and all the other lads spent going from Kennedy Space Center to the moon and back. So it's probably quicker nowadays, but let's go with 8 days. That's 192 hours of labour. The current minimum wage in Ireland is €12.70. So that comes out at €2,438. So I'm adding that €2,400 to the $4.2 billion that we spent on the launch system. So that's bringing us up well under $5
billion. Yeah.
Now, of course, we also need to buy the rocket itself. Now, what I was thinking is a way to do this would be to not buy a new one, but to get a second-hand one. So I was thinking, the space shuttle is no longer in use, and there was a few of those built in the 70s and 80s. Why don't we buy one of those? So there is one for sale, It's a retired space shuttle and it's going for $28.8 million in the States.
So that's nothing.
So we are well under what is required.
Yeah.
So I think it's totally doable.
Will the space shuttle make it all the way to the moon, do we know?
Yeah, it will, yeah. I mean, so long as you have enough diesel and everything.
Right, okay. Yeah. So maybe at night they need to bring a few cans with them or something inside.
Sorry, I didn't account for diesel. Yeah, yes. So you'll have to put diesel on that. Mileage.
Okay. Mileage as well. But sure, that would be eminently doable. Now, but like the minimum wage thing, because presumably the astronaut might need to have a few qualifications of some sort to drive the space shuttle even.
Sure. I was thinking about the Columbia space mission in the mid-1980s when, as a kind of an outreach program, NASA launched this project to try and find a citizen astronaut.
Mm.
And if you remember, there's a brilliant Netflix documentary about it. They found this school teacher from Middle America, I think it was Ohio or somewhere, and they trained her up as an astronaut. I was thinking we could do that, you know, get someone from like, you know, Cavan or Leitrim or Tipperary, you know, maybe a farmer or maybe someone who works, you know, whatever it is, and we train them up and we use them as our astronaut.
Okay. Would they need to have, you know, when you're still a provisional driver, you need some sort of sticker on the back of the space shuttle?
Definitely L plates.
Yeah.
And maybe N plates as well.
Yeah. But they would, but sure, you know, the chances of them crashing into another spacecraft are fairly remote.
Minimal.
Okay. So that's a definite possibility.
Yeah.
That's actually space, landing a person on the moon, coming back. And we have money to spare there.
We've only spent half.
Right. Okay, then. So, hosting the Olympics.
Yeah. Now, if you remember a few months ago, Sean, this came up when Senator Malcolm Byrne suggested that we aim for 2072 to host Ireland's first Olympics. He faced a lot of ridicule, which I thought was undeserved at the time. In fact, if anything, I think Senator Byrne wasn't ambitious enough. Okay, so what I'm suggesting is that we don't aim for the 2072 Olympics, we aim for the 2036 Olympics. Now, at the moment, the 2036 Olympic hosting process is still underway. There are currently four cities that are vying for the title. Istanbul, Nusantara in Indonesia, never heard of it. Santiago in Chile.
Okay.
And Ahmedabad in India, never heard of it.
Okay.
Dublin, Ireland can also be part of that.
And now, all those places will be absolutely roasting.
Roasting hot.
Yeah, after another 10 years of, you know, climate change. Absolutely roasting. No one will want to go there.
Exactly. And I was thinking, you know, what people kept saying about Malcolm Byrne's thing is that we don't have the infrastructure. Paris spent $10 billion on hosting the Paris Olympics, but they already had everything in place. We actually have a lot more in place than people think. We can do our sailing on Dunleary, our triathlon in the Liffey. We can do our rowing down at Island Bridge. We have so many golf courses for the golf event. We can do our beach volleyball in Dollymount Strand. But then I was thinking, Sean, are we even being ambitious enough with hosting the Summer Olympics? And when I started to crunch the numbers and think about it more clearly, once the clouds of ambition cleared, I realised that what we should really be aiming for is hosting the Winter Olympics.
Really? Do we have enough snow? Snowy mountains even,
okay,
for
so
that kind of thing?
The last Winter Olympics was in 2022 and it was hosted just outside Beijing in China. There was zero real snow used in that.
Yes, that's
in
true.
In fact, 100% of the snow used in the last Winter Olympics was artificial. Now, they spent $4 billion hosting that Olympics. Winter Olympics are generally much cheaper than a Summer Olympics. So what I'm thinking is that we could host it in Kerry, in the McGillicuddy Reeks. The alpine and slalom events would take place on Carrantuohill because in the winter they have a bit of snow, a bit of frosting at the top anyway.
Yeah.
All we would need to do is top it up. And then you're talking about $60 million is what the Chinese spent on snow machines at the Winter Olympics in 2022. Now, they also needed 49 million gallons of water to make that snow. Okay, so I'm thinking that we could drain the Shannon and use that water as the surplus that we need for the snow machines. And we get rid of the River Shannon. We sacrifice the River Shannon to host the Winter Olympics. I think it's a sacrifice that most people will be willing to make.
Okay, we could build a road on it or something anyway.
Exactly.
That, yeah. or put up, you know, a solar farm, or not a solar farm, but windmills.
Yeah, or
people,
people
love them.
Use the money that we've left over from hosting a cheaper Olympics to build a massive cross rail through the country.
Yeah, well, there we've that too. That might be a bit handy. That's almost suspicious. Are there kind of any sort of, whether it be summer or winter Olympics, or any sorts of sports facilities that we don't have in the country that we'd need to build?
Yeah, so the velodrome is always the old chestnut here, Sean. There have been feasibility studies done on whether we could build a velodrome here in Dublin. And it, most people think it would cost probably between $80 and $90 million. We've plenty for that. I don't see why it can't be done. It's interesting, the ambitions for an Olympics in Ireland, it's not a new thing. There was an old Fine Gael politician called Owen O'Duffy. In fact, he was the first leader of Fine Gael, former member of the IRA, a blue shirt.
Yes.
And he proposed that Ireland host the 1940 Olympics. Now, what had happened was that we had just come fresh off our success of hosting the 1932 Eucharistic Congress, which was a massive success across the country. And everyone said, next stop, the Olympics. So Owen O'Duffy said, I'm going to crowdfund £500,000 and then we can do it. Now, he didn't get any. He got to £3,000.
Okay.
And then the war happened and the 1940 Olympics never went ahead. But
okay,
I think
that's a shame.
It could have happened.
Yeah, history thwarted him there. So this could be our chance. Now, another thing there's been a huge public clamour for is a massive bridge between Ireland and Britain. Obviously, Boris Johnson did propose that, and that was hugely popular in this country at the time.
Yes, yeah, Boris Johnson winning more hearts over here. Back in, I think it was 2021, there was a feasibility study done on this. Sean, the closest distance between the British mainland and Northern Ireland is Torhead, near Ballycastle, to the Mull of Kintyre. It's 19 kilometres.
Okay.
Right? Now, the feasibility study said of Boris Johnson's quip that we could just throw up an Isle bridge there between the two countries and hope for the best. This was part of his Union Connectivity Review to bring the four nations of the United Kingdom and Northern Ireland together. They said that it would cost $335 billion if it was a bridge and $209 billion if it was a tunnel. Now, that's well over the $13 billion that we have to spend.
Yeah.
With this. But then I was thinking, wait now, the longest overwater bridge in the world is in China. The Chinese, they're always at these big projects.
They are.
Their longest bridge is 164 kilometres over the sea.
Crikey.
Ours is 19. We can do it for cheaper. The problem is Beaufort's Dyke, Sean.
Okay.
Beaufort's Dyke is this deep crevice between the Mull of Kintyre and Northern Ireland. It's 300 metres deep. And during the 1970s, the British threw loads of munitions into it. So for lads to work on building a tunnel there, just too dangerous.
Yeah.
So I'm going to write that one off.
Yeah. Though, I mean, there could be some other location where you can lop it over there. Be a bit longer, but get the Chinese to do it.
Maybe Cornwall to Wexford.
Yeah, something like that. So we could spend the money over. This is an interesting idea you've had now. We could spend the money overseas.
Yes.
On one of our embassies.
Yeah. So when I've done some research before for the Pat Kenny Show about this whole idea of global Ireland. And, you know, we're building all these so-called Ireland houses in capitals all over the world where they kind of bring cultural Irish centres and diplomatic headquarters together into these kind of big centres for the Irish diaspora. But the problem is that some of the places around the world are actually rental properties. So I was thinking about our embassy in New Delhi. Now, the latest information that I could find about this, Sean, is that the building that we currently rent in New Delhi for our embassy and our ambassador costs €288,000, €271,000. Yeah, so almost €300,000 in rent per year. So my idea instead is to stop paying rent, because rent's just wasted money.
Yeah.
And instead, we buy a gaff in India. So what I want us to do is I want us to buy a house off Mukesh Ambani. Mukesh Ambani, Sean, is the richest man in Asia. He's the 11th richest man in the world. He has a fortune of $167 billion. $1,000, oil and gas. And he has a house, one of his houses is currently up for sale. It's the Attila Mansion. It's 27 stories and it's on sale for between $1.5 and $2 billion, which currently makes it the most expensive house in the world. Now, the only problem is this. This is the only problem that I foresee.
Okay.
Okay, because it's mostly positives. The only problem is that it's in Mumbai. The capital of India, of course, is in New Delhi.
Yeah.
But yeah. It's class. And I think it would really be worth it just for that commute between Mumbai and Delhi.
How long is that commute?
Oh, like what? A few hours?
Ah, yeah, they're grand
like,
then.
Maybe 15 to 20 hours by road.
Yeah. But sure, it'd be worth it because you have something to look forward to when you come home.
Yeah, exactly. And the great thing is that it has an inbuilt 6-story car park, which is what every ambassador needs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. For the fleet of cars that Ireland keeps on the road for our foreign ambassadors. Owen says, why don't they just build another children's hospital just outside the M50? It'll be finished before the current one is being built. Well, if you get the Chinese to do it, who knows? Aideen says, we should buy the back catalogue of loads of famous artists and make money off their royalties. Imagine if we bought Taylor Swift's music. It would drive her mad. I think she'd have to sell it. So I don't know if she'd be willing to do that, to be honest with you. Lots of people obviously making comments about bike sheds and putting a roof on the country. Jim has an interesting suggestion. Why don't we just buy 13 billion euro worth of Apple shares?
Nice.
That would be an interesting idea. I have an idea. With the billions, build the biggest and widest runway in Europe at Dublin Airport with a few extra car spaces, says Dan. You're just doing that to wind up the Greens. That is some racket in the background of the Kennedy Space Centre. Sounds like a space rocket falling apart. Someone suggests we get Colin Meaney for the week for the moonshot. He has experience.
Yes, of course, from space. Star Trek.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if we'd work for minimum wage, but maybe you do it for the experience. We get 2 billion from Google as well. So that's a total of 15 billion. So let's give everyone 300 euro and have a party. Someone else says the space shuttle is a great idea. It can land in Scotland, where I believe the second longest runway in the world was built for that very purpose, in case the lads ended up on the wrong side of the world. Then the ferry across the home by tea time would reduce emissions. Or they could travel over the newly built bridge, obviously. We should do what they did 50 years ago, rip up every tram line in Dublin and then put down a new, smaller version. That sounds like it would make perfect sense. And though Pat from Cork says, ye don't seriously believe man landed on the moon. No one ever landed or set foot on the moon or ever will, says Pat. And that's science. Simon, thanks a million as ever. Simon Tierney there.